Now we go to the rural news with Eric Frickberg. And Eric, there might soon be some roast duck on the menu for some lucky people this weekend.
Yes, perhaps, or more accurate people might be a better way to put it. That's because after a three-week delay, the duck shooting season finally gets underway. Now, Byron McGowan is a Waikato shooter who's desperate to get out, but at least the wait has given him extra time for clay bird shooting to hone his marksmanship. And when he does get out there, he won't be alone in his mai-mai.
I mean, there's eight of us in the mai-mai this year. I've buddied up with a few of the Chiefs rugby players, so we're going to have a full mai-mai. And Sam Kane, so we've got the new all-black captain in our mai-mai this year, which will be a bit of a buzz. And Damien McKenzie, Brad Webber, Tyler Ardron, Lachlan Boshier. So we've got a good lineup of Kiwi rugby players, so it'll be good.
And what sort of a shot are rugby players?
Depends where they're from, really. Like, there's a couple of them aren't too bad. There's a couple of them that are new to it, but they're good. They're all right. They'll get the birds on the ground.
What do you enjoy about it?
One of the big things is actually talking to the ducks. You know, anyone can shoot a duck, but talking to them when they're up circling around and managing to bring them back down, that's a huge buzz for me.
And when you say talking to them, you mean you use a duck caller?
Yep, using a duck caller. So there's feeding, there's cutback. There's a whole lot of calls you've got to use, so it's trying to understand what they're saying or what they're thinking and talking to them and bringing them back around.
How long did it take you to get that language sorted?
Hours and hours and hours. I've sat in my ute driving to work just on the duck call. Like, my wife is, she hates it, leaving up the duck shooting season because I've always got the call in the truck. I'm always working on it, but it's years and years and years.
That's Byron McGowan speaking to Susan Murray. And we'll have another duck hunter on the program later in this hour. It's becoming a popular sport. The kiwi fruit grower Seeker says it's coming to the end of one of the most difficult seasons on record. The company blames COVID-19 along with dry weather in New Zealand and Australia. Seeker's chief executive Michael Frank says volumes of gold kiwi fruit, while ahead of 2019, are behind expectation, and green volumes are expected to be below last year and expectations.
Well, we've packed more sun gold than we did last year. Actually, we're not where we thought we would be. The dry growing conditions has affected the gold. But the gold itself actually puts more of its growing on before Christmas and so is kind of less susceptible to the drought. Hayward, however, is a different story. You know, it's the second year of yields that are lower. It does a lot more of its growing in the summer and so is more susceptible to drought, particularly where those orchards don't have irrigation. And so, you know, we're seeing some reasonably low yields and high reject rates at the shed.
Mr. Frank says he's pleased that despite the labour shortages and other challenges COVID-19 created, his team still managed to get the crop off. He now expects earnings before tax for the full 2020 financial year to be between $9 and $11 million, compared with $9.8 million the year prior.
It hasn't been a great season in terms of costs. There were significant costs with COVID. We've had a drought conditions and so it hasn't been a great operational earnings year, but we've been able to make up for those challenges with other things that we've done.
That's Michael Franks from Seeker. The animal genetics company Livestock Improvement Corporation has downgraded its underlying earnings forecast for next financial year. It earlier announced an estimate of between $21 and $27 million, but has pulled that down to $16 to $22 million. It bases this on the impact of COVID-19, tighter credit for farmers, a lower milk price, and looming environmental rules. But this year's forecast remains unchanged. Time now for the latest from the sale yards around the country. And to tell us more, we're joined by Suze Bremner, an analyst at AgriHQ. Hi, Suze.
Hi, Eric. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Well, we've had our first full week of sales post-lockdown, and it's been a bit of a game of two halves, really, with a significant lift for store lambs over levels seen in the paddock through lockdown, while the cattle, unfortunately, have been a bit slower to gain momentum. So if we have a look at the store lambs, the reopening of the yards was timed well with processor wait time shortening, which meant that people were able to offload finished lambs and then look to re-enter the market. The yards being functional again added its own level of competitiveness, but the combination of the two had a fairly dramatic effect on prices and all in farmers' favour. That lift has seen good male lambs in the North Island able to achieve $100 to $110, with that, a similar range for the top mixed-sex lambs in the South Island. I think another driver has been that no one is really too sure how many store lambs are still out there, especially those male lambs. And with kill stats up, it's looking likely that there may not be any great numbers. So I'm thinking that buyers might be possibly gathering up what they can.
And Suze, what about cattle sales?
Well, the cattle sales are very busy with big regular weekly sales, as well as weaner fairs and calf sales that were supposed to be calendared for the lockdown period. There is a bit of a sense of normality returning and demand for store stock is creeping up, but there's definitely a main focus on traditional embedded bred cattle with the demand slower to pick up for the dairy.
Thanks, Suze. That's Suze Bremner from AgriHQ. Hawke's Bay Regional Councillors have voted to contribute $200,000 to the Mayoral Drought Relief Fund. They're hoping, with an approach to private investors and some help from the government, it'll reach $2 million. The wildlife activist group Sea Shepherd has sought legal action to block New Zealand seafood exports to the United States. It says several US agencies, including the Department of Commerce, failed to enforce a law blocking imports from fishing companies whose methods put endangered species at risk. It says Maui dolphins are killed as a bycatch from fishing companies seeking other species. The fishing industry here says there's not been a recorded case of a Maui dolphin caught in a net since 2002, and the disease toxoplasmosis is a far greater danger to the animal. Fonterra has appealed against a $1 billion housing scheme at Te Awa Lakes near Hamilton. It fears the project could disrupt work at its nearby Te Rapa dairy factory. The scheme involves 1,000 homes. It was opposed by Fonterra, which now wants a hearing at the Environment Court, saying a concept called reverse sensitivity allows new arrivals in a region to object to projects that were there long before they turned up. And finally, the deadline is looming for dairy farmers to have their say on the milk solids levy vote, which closes on May the 30th. It helps fund research and advocacy for the dairy industry. And that's Rural News for now. Thanks, Marnie.